Communication between government and industry is improving, but still isn't great, according to leaders across the contracting space that I talked to. The importance of building the lines of communication is one of three lessons Casey Coleman wishes she would have learned before she left government. Casey's group vice president of UNIS's Federal Systems Civilian Agencies and former chief information officer at the General Services Administration, and she is blogging about the three lessons that she wishes she would have known before she left government on the On Point blog at unisys.com. Casey, it's wonderful to talk to you, and congratulations on your transition to UNISYS. These lessons, what prompted you to want to sit down and put them down? I was going to say on paper, but I guess that's not really appropriate anymore. Thanks for being on the program today.
You bet, Francis. Good morning, and thank you. I wanted to, just be candid about observations I've made since moving from a federal role to an industry role, because I think it's one that might be informative and instructive as many other people do the same or work with those who've had experience on both sides of the team.
You make a point in one of these, which is the issue I raised about communication between government and industry, that I imagine a lot of people are applauding. You write, of course, there can be a risk to communicating, but I would argue there's an even greater cost to not communicating. And we've seen that, especially in the IT realm in the last couple of years, some very high-profile instances of where a lack of communication was the problem and not talking too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's often the case. And I think it's motivated by a good intent to try to be even-handed and fair and not to inadvertently communicate more to one party than another. But it does have risks, and communication is, I think in general, if an organization is communicating, they're going to get better outcomes. They're going to find that they are hearing more about what's going on in industry, success stories that have worked at one agency or at one program that they could replicate, and they could also find that they've been able to better express their intent and their strategies and their goals in a way that industry then can respond with better targeted proposals that are going to be successful and meet their outcomes.
Do you have different insight now that you're in industry as to where in the acquisition process the best or most important communication points are that maybe you didn't when you were in government?
Yes, I believe that the important communication points that will in one respect, I think it's useful to always remain open to communication throughout the life cycle, except at points where it's really not appropriate, like when there's an active procurement on the street. So I think I might flip your supposition around and say more when might be the windows of time when it might be not appropriate to have communication versus more appreciate. But I would say points at which it would be especially effective would be when an organization is creating and publishing a strategy, when they have specific goals and program outcomes they're trying to achieve, and when they're starting to think about a particular solution and they want to vet some ideas with industry on different approaches that could not have been previously anticipated, but might be right on target.
Another of the points that you write about, an observation that you make about the government versus industry issue, is those in private industry who support the government are motivated by the same ideals as those who work in government. And you write, as a government employee, I noted there's often a suspicion that industry exists solely to take the government's money. How do you didn't feel that way, because I know I recall conversations that you and I had when you were still in government. But mm-hmm. Now that you're in industry, how do you see that manifesting itself potentially in a damaging way?
Yeah, and you're right, Francis. I knew this when I was in government, too, but I think I knew it in more of an academic than an experiential sense. And thinking about it now, I think in general, federal teams that work with their industry partners generally, at a program or mission level, have a good relationship and understand that everyone's there to get the job done, everyone's there to support the mission. I think it's possible that as you get further in concentric circles away from that core day-to-day work relationship, maybe into the broader support environment of contracting officers, attorneys, the oversight community, even leadership that removed from that day-to-day interaction, then you find that there's less understanding and maybe less trust.
The third item that you write about in this piece, and I have a link to it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, is focusing procurements on outcomes. And you write, government procurements are frequently extremely prescriptive on issues related to how. The sense that I have of the reason that outcomes get lost sometimes in the procurement process is pure risk aversion. Is that observation on target, do you think, Casey?
I think it is. I mean, honestly, federal agencies have been faced with a lot of protest in recent times, and I think it probably is a desire to be very consistent, to button things down, to have a procurement that is, you know, not going to be vulnerable to a successful protest. But I think there are ways to do that that don't end up being so prescriptive that the organization, you know, eliminates before it ever sees innovative proposals that might have brought a more efficient solution, one that's more cost effective, one that is, you know, brings them outcomes that, you know, they really need accomplished, but in a way that they didn't foresee or prescribe in the development of the procurement.
You write in this piece, there's room for creativity and innovation in our procurement system. We just need to embrace it. What do you think are the first one, two, or three steps that agencies can take to embrace that creativity and innovation without doing anything that they're not supposed to do?
Well, I think one particularly helpful step is to really understand the boundaries. And in the blog, I use the analogy of a football field. You have goal lines at the, you know, at the 1 yard mark. You have 100 yards of field to play on. You shouldn't have to confine yourself to the middle, you know, middle ground between the 40 yard line markers. And the ability to use the full expanse of authorities and to play the whole field, if you will, comes from really understanding the FAR and the, you know, the legal and regulatory environment. So I think that calls for expertise from the procurement and legal and program and mission community, everyone who's involved in the procurements. So it's certainly helpful to have you know, experience in doing procurements. One of the advantages I've pointed out is GSA in particular has done a great job with the upcoming Alliant 2 procurement because they have really been thoughtful about their communication and hearing from industry and being open to new approaches that haven't existed before because technology is changing so rapidly.
So let's connect the innovation piece to the communications thing that we talked about at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
What are some things that you think agencies might be able to do in an innovative way? I mean, we've been doing industry days and that kind of stuff for 1,000 years. Are there ways that agencies can leverage innovation just to be able to get the information they need to make good decisions?
Yes, there's, you know, you can do pilot programs. You can, one approach I've seen work is pick a program that is kind of low risk and try something innovative with that program, something that, you know, is not going to have, you know, mission-critical ripple effects if something doesn't go as planned. So that's another approach. I also think it's helpful to be involved in the community through organizations like ACT-IAC and AFIRM and AFSEA to hear from other agencies and from other industry partners and to see what's going on in the broader community to inform yourself and learn from them so that you don't have to repeat what may have already been accomplished successfully somewhere else.
Some good lessons to learn here, Casey, and it's great to talk to you about them. Thanks for being on the program today.
Thank you, Francis. My pleasure.